ask for your prayers this afternoon, Lord, and bless His Word. As we look into a portion of it, make it profitable to us. I'd like to begin in the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Written on the board, the words, a distinction. Deuteronomy chapter 7, do a little bit of reading here. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites, the Amorites and the Canaanites, the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor shew mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following thee, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy you suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondsmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations. I'm thankful that the Lord has always desired to have a relationship with the people, with his creation from the time in the garden whenever the Lord had created Adam and Eve. He wanted to have that communion. He wanted a people that, and he created a people that were made in his image and in his likeness that he could have a relationship with and commune with. But we know how sin entered the picture and it destroyed all of that. But the Lord, throughout it all, he had a plan. The scripture says that Jesus was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. The Lord already had a plan and a purpose in mind to be able to work with the people down throughout the thread of history to bring mankind back to a place that they could be restored to a relationship with him through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It took many, many years, many centuries and generations after generations of people of the Lord working. But what the thought I want us to get a hold of here is the Lord has always had a people. The Lord has always had those that have been, we read in the Bible, a distinction between in Noah's day, there were the children of God and the children of men. There was a distinction between the two. There were those that were following God, and they weren't camouflaged and blended right in with all the other people of the world. There was a difference. There was something that set them apart, a distinction that made them unlike the people and the nations that were around them. There were times that those people, the people of God, those that were called by his name, there were times whenever they got down very few in number. Just a few souls that were saved in an ark. 8 souls, I believe it was, that were saved, but God still had a people. He still had a few souls that were determined, despite what's happening in the world around us. Our allegiance is not to this world. Our allegiance is not to our neighbors, to our friends, to our co-workers, or those around us. Our allegiance is to Almighty God and His ways and His commandments. That's what we're living for. Was thinking about the scripture we read in Hebrews 11. I want to come back here and we'll spend quite a bit of time maybe here in the Old Testament, but I'd like to pick up what the writer says here in Hebrews 11. It says, these all died in faith, verse 13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Folks, I don't want the Lord to be ashamed of me. I don't want the Lord to be ashamed to say this is my child, because he's prepared a city for me. He's prepared a country for us, and it is for us. As God's people, as has been the case all throughout time, those that follow God are set apart and distinct from the world that's around them. These men of faith and women of faith, they followed God. They were looking at something beyond this life, looking at something beyond. We live in a poll-driven society today. Whenever politicians are deciding what position should we take, you go take a pulse of all the polls. Well, what are the people thinking? What's popular with everybody today? But that's not what the children of God do. That's not how truth is determined. That's not how we determine how to live our lives. But they declared plainly. There was no ambiguity about it. There was no being mealy-mouthed or being washy or fickle about it. They were plain. They declare plainly, I'm seeking something else. I'm living for something else. Yes, I am. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. In other words, I really don't belong here. I'm here. The Lord's got me here for a reason, but I'm not a product of this. I'm not really a citizen of this. My citizenship, and it's what the word conversation means. Paul, I believe, wrote in one place that our conversation is in heaven. Our citizenship, who and what we are a citizen of, it's about more than being a citizen of the United States or belonging to this. But I'm a citizen. My conversation is of a heavenly Jerusalem, not of the cities of this world. So my conduct and my conversation and my behavior, the way that I order and live my life, is at a distinction. It's at cross purposes, a 90-degree angle, you might say, with what the world around me is. Because they're not governed by those laws. They've not submitted themselves under the laws of God. There's still a distinction today between the children of men and the children of God. The Lord is looking for a people who are still willing today to plainly declare, I'm a stranger and a pilgrim. I'm seeking something beyond this life. So the instruction here to the children of Israel, whenever I bring you into a land that I've promised unto you and unto your seed, read about it there in the 12th chapter of Genesis. Whenever the Lord met Abram, and he gave a promise that through thee and thy seed will all nations of the earth be blessed. I've got a plan for them. I've got a purpose for them. I'm calling them. There's something that, though it took some time to work out, to bring into place, I've got a land for them. I'm going to make of them a nation unto God, unlike all the other nations of the world around them. One of the places that we see evidence of that. Remember when the children of Israel came now, fast forward quite a ways now. And they said, we want a king like all the other nations around us. We're different. There's something unique about us. There's something unusual about us. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Because, and I want to keep reading here, it's the Lord that made the distinction. It's the Lord that makes the difference. The Lord was their king. Yes, it's different than all the other nations around, because you are a nation that's called out. You're a nation unto God, peculiar. So he said, whenever you go in to possess the land, now I've fulfilled and I'm bringing into being the promise that I made unto your fathers way back there. You as my people What a privilege. What a blessing to be able to be called the sons of God. May we never take for granted the blessing and the privilege of what it is to be called a child of God. And Jesus said it. Your rejoicing is not just based in the fact of what you're able to do or that the devils are subject to you, but there's cause to rejoice because your name is written not in the book of men's accolades, but your name is written in heaven, in the book of life. That's where your name is. That's what you're a citizen of. So rejoice in that. Whenever I bring you into this land, the Lord had some instruction that he had for him. And I'm going to send you here. There are other nations around you that I'm going to drive out from before you. And he was very clear with them. Don't go marry their people. You don't go start making allegiances with them. You don't start trying to blend yourself in and become one of them. I'm not calling you out to become one of them. I'm calling you out into this land to give you this land. The Lord has an inheritance for every one of us. The Lord has a land for every one of us to possess. But it's not for us to go into this world to become one of the world. We don't reach the world by camouflaging ourselves like the world. But the Lord has called us out, a peculiar people, peculiar unto himself, a treasure. He says, here's how you deal with them. Destroy their altars, break down their images. In other words, as we've written here, a distinction. There needs to be a clear distinction between who you are and who the world is. There needs to be something that I can tell a difference. But do you see today a tendency and a trend in our world to try to blur the lines? There shouldn't be black and white. There shouldn't be yes or no, right or wrong. It's all kind of in a gray area. It's all kind of how you want it to be. You know, there's a progression. The devil's been trying, he's working at this for a long time now, to try to blur the distinction in our lives. If I become one of them, if I become one of the world, then there is no difference. If I say that I must live in sin, or I live the same kind of life that somebody out there lives, but I'm still holding on to a name of something, it cheapens it so much. He's saying here there is a distinction. There is to be a clear difference between you and the way that you live and the way that you are governed in your lives. A difference from the world around you. I'd like to look at Leviticus now. Leviticus, the 20th chapter. Look down here beginning in the 22nd verse. 20 and 22. Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and my judgments and do them, and that the land, whether I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation, which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. Who was it that made the separation? The distinction? It wasn't of man's doings or of man's creation that mankind got together and said, we want to try to be something different. You know, people try to be different today. In a way, they think they're being different. They're going to go some of the piercings that I've seen and the tattoos and the hair colors that I've seen. What makes a person want to be like that? Being different in and of itself, there's no virtue to. There's no virtue to me saying I want to be different than anyone else. But it says here that the Lord God is the one that made a separation. The Lord's the one that made a difference. You know it's what holiness is? Holiness is not about us trying to say if everybody wears black and white and your top collar buttoned and an exact image like one another, then everybody's going to know that you're different from the world. or if you look like the same style of dress as another in the 1880s, they'll be able to tell that you're different from the world. Folks, the Lord has made a distinction. He has made a separation. But it's going to become evident. It will come out. The Lord's the one that makes the separation and the distinction. It's not by us trying to enforce or trying to make an outward show of something just to show the world that I'm different. If we live a life of holiness, and holiness is within, that difference is going to show. That difference is going to manifest itself in not only the way we dress, but in all manner of our conversation and conduct. So it says the Lord is the one that is separated from all other people. Ye shall therefore put difference between clean beast and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast, or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine. You know, that's something to me that the Lord, He said that He's a jealous God. The love that He has for us and the desire that you don't belong to someone else. You're not part of, with allegiances to another God, but you're mine. Peculiar doesn't only mean, as we would think of it, as unusual or as strange, but the word peculiar, when He says you'll be a peculiar nation unto me, you're a set apart nation. You're unique. You're my treasure. You know, we are the Lord's treasure. The Lord takes pleasure in Zion. Saul, the psalmist said that He beautifies the meek with salvation. The Lord taketh pleasure in Mount Zion. You know, the Lord considers us to be His treasure. A peculiar nation called out. Ye should be mine. I'd like to look here a few chapters back in the 11th chapter. Read here about the distinction, the difference that you should put between clean and unclean. Read in the 11th chapter of Leviticus a lot more detail about those requirements. We won't read all the way through this, but he gives some very specific requirements of what you're allowed to eat and what you're not allowed to eat. And to be able to understand how to make that distinction. How to be able to know that cheweth a cud or divideth a hoof, etc. That you can look at that and know that the Lord has, He's put a judgment on this. The Lord has looked at this and said, this is not clean. Don't partake of that. And you know, I've wondered and I've asked the Lord, Lord, why? What was it about some of these animals that was defiling? Why did you choose some of these animals to say they're unclean? But others you chose to say they're clean. You know, for me, looking back in the dispensation of grace that I live in today, it's a little bit hard for me to be able to understand living under something like that. But you know, God is a sovereign God, and He put a very clear distinction between right and wrong. You look at the garden whenever the Lord said, I'm creating all of this for your use and for your benefit. But He said, there's one fruit. There's one tree that you're not. What was it about that fruit? Was that fruit poisonous? Did it not taste good? Lord, why that fruit? Our God is a sovereign God, has created a right from wrong, a distinction. I want you to follow me and follow my ways and follow my commandments because you love me. And as you follow me, you're going to be distinct from the world around you. I want to put some difference between you and the world around you. I want there to be a very unique identifying characteristic that these people are different than all the other nations around them. This was one of the ways that the Lord created a distinction of His people. Looking for a people that followed Him in obedience to all the ordinances that the Lord gave. But if I look down a little further here, it says in verse 44, For I am the Lord your God, Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beasts that may be eaten and the beasts that may not be eaten. I want you to have an understanding here. I want you to be able to make a very clear distinction. This the Lord has put His approval and His blessing on, and this I am not to touch. I'm not to partake of this. And you know, this wasn't something that was light, a light matter. It wasn't something that they were to handle trivially. It wasn't a list of preferences, but it was a list of ordinances that the Lord gave. This is what I have called unclean. This is what I've called clean. It's not up to you to determine your own way. It's not up to you to try to reason out what you think is acceptable. At the end of the day, if the Lord says it, my place is to say, yes, Lord. If the Lord calls it unclean, it is unclean, despite what mankind says, despite how the world scoffs at it. And you know the world will scoff? You know, there were some young men that were doing their best to follow these commandments that the Lord had given. They were taken into captivity into Babylon, and the servant or the butler, whatever he is called, of the king, said, you're going to have to eat something more than that. You're going to have to eat the king's meat that is set before you, because you have to appear your very best before the king. And that's the only way that you're going to be able to do it, is to subscribe to the diet of the Babylonians. But there is a problem here, because the Lord had said, that thing is unclean. That kind of meat you don't touch. You know, they faced a crossroads there. They faced a dilemma. Well, Lord, they could have said, Lord, I'm not in Israel anymore. I'm taken captive now. I'm in this place. Or surely you'll understand, Lord. Surely it's not such a big deal. Well, Lord, maybe I'll eat of it, and then I'll just kind of spit it into a napkin or something. I don't want to create any ripples here. Have you ever felt those kind of temptations? Because if we endeavor to follow the Lord, Jesus said that the world's going to hate you because you're not of the world. And because you're not of the world is going to hate you. You're at cross purposes. There's a difference here. And there are going to be places for all of us in the lives that we live in this time world that I have to make choices, that I have to make decisions. Am I going to blur the lines? Am I going to try to camouflage myself to be like the world around me? I don't want anybody to notice. Well, Lord, you see my heart. You ever hear that? Lord knows my heart. The Lord knows that I'm not really. Lord, I want in my life. I don't want to just see what I can get by with. I don't want to just see how close I can get to the world. But Lord, help me to make a difference. Help me to declare plainly, boldly, I'm not part of this system. And so they said, we can't partake of this. This pulse that we have here, this is our diet, and this is what? You can't do it. You're not going to be able, and I'm going to lose my life as well for bringing somebody that's going to look like you will look before the king. And he said, just put us to the test. Just give us a little while, and then make your determination. Folks, there is no substitute for the blessing of the Lord. Whenever we're willing to stand up and say, from the right purpose, not just out of a caustic or out of an ugly attitude towards the world, but I've got some convictions here. I've got a place here. I'm following the Lord. I'm not part of this system here, and I can't go there. There are still lines that have to be drawn, that have been drawn, that I have to observe in my life. There are still places that I'd say I can't cross that point. When the world tries so hard to blur all the lines in the sand and to try to make it some very ambiguous thing, I still serve a holy God. And he said, be you holy, because I am holy. And I want you to be a separated, distinct people from the people that are in the world around you. The world is going to say, you can't live that way. You can't succeed because you're in this world. You're in this time. And in order to be able to succeed in this world, you're going to have to do things our way. It's not true. I remember a teacher in high school telling me, as I had talked to her and asked to be excused as the class watched a movie in class, I said, I don't want to be part of that. Can I be excused and go to the library? She said, Clint. And she tried. She was very nice. I really liked the teacher. But she said, Clint, I want to talk to you. She said, there's coming a time that you're going to be out on your own, that you're going out into the world, and you can't do things like that. You can't say that you're not going to watch movies. And Clint, you're going to have to come to a place that you're able to handle this kind of thing. Folks, the world is going to tell us you have to eat the king's meat. You have to eat of Hollywood's diet, and we don't have to. Yes, we're going to look different. But you know, the blessing of the Lord will put a difference on us. It's not on us trying to say, look at who I am, I'm a religious person. But if I live my life in a way, to the best of my understanding, by the grace of God, Lord, in my life, as David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Lord, I don't want to partake of anything that you have said is unclean. Lord, in my life, I'm endeavoring by your grace to live a clean and a pure life. You know, the blessing of the Lord on my life and his ability to work with me, to answer my prayers. Folks, that can make a difference. That speaks so much louder than any of the empty words that the religious world so often says. But it comes only by the blessing of the Lord being on our lives. Oh, how did those young men look after the end of the 2 weeks or however long it was? Their countenance was fairer. They were stronger. The blessing of the Lord is able to do that. And then further down in their history, as the Hebrew children were brought to a place to have to decide, they're in a plurality, a majority of people that were bowing down whenever the music played. Here's another crossroads. Here's another decision I have to make. Lord, wouldn't you understand? If I just kind of get down so I'm not quite so noticeable. Lord, you know I'm not praying in my heart. I don't like that, though. I'm not. But instead, there was something else in their heart that challenges me. Lord, help me to be willing in this dark world to let my light shine. I don't have to be ashamed. We're not second-class citizens. We're heavenly citizens. That's not something that I have to be ashamed of. Lord, help us to be willing by God's grace to stand up and say, I'm part of a different country. Read also in 10th chapter of Leviticus. Try not to be too much longer. Leviticus 10 and verse 9, the Lord is speaking unto Aaron, and he said, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Why? That ye may put difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. That ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes with which the Lord has spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. What I've spoken to you is important, Aaron. The distinctions that I have made between what is clean and what is unclean, what is expedient for you and what is harmful for you, those are important to observe. They were important enough that some young men were willing to stand up and say, cast us into the fire if you must, but we will not bow down. We're going to stand for something here. He said it's so important. There needs to be a carefulness. Don't drink strong drink or something that could hinder your ability to have discernment. We need still today in our time discernment, if ever we've needed it, to be able to clearly understand this is not right, this is right, this is clean, this is not clean, this is something that's wholesome in my life and my family, and this is not. In such a fast-paced world today, where we're facing things that our parents did not face, Lord, help us to be able to have this kind of discernment. To be able to look at a thing and be able to understand what's behind it. Because I'm telling you, the world has a way of camouflaging and masking itself as looking very innocent. Whenever it has an agenda that's behind it and working with it, that will slowly dull the senses and our ability to think. You know, we can become drunk on this world. We can become drunk on entertainment of this world. We can become drunk on things that dull our spiritual senses so that I don't have a clear spiritual discernment now. This was to Aaron of the order of the priesthood that followed him. You've got to be able to make a distinction. It's important for you and for the ones that are following you. You know, we're all called today to be kings and priests. We are today in this dispensation part of the royal priesthood. So it is of utmost importance for us that I be able to have a clear spiritual discernment. If I'm drunk on the things of the flesh, on the cares of life, on the things that just tend to numb, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. Every one of us, if we're not careful, can get into a place that maybe I'm starting to spend a little too much time doing. Maybe it's not sinful, it's maybe in and of itself, but it starts to drain me spiritually. That if I don't have the proper balance and I don't have it in its right place, folks, we need to be able to have a clear spiritual discernment, spiritual eyesight, spiritual senses to be able to understand, to be able to see beneath the surface of a thing, beneath the outward shell that the world says this is such a good thing. Lord, help me to see down to the root of it. Lord, help me to understand what's motivating, what's the spirit behind this thing before I go and partake of it. All right, let's look at 2 Corinthians now. Move ahead to the New Testament. The instruction to the people was, be clean, be holy. The things that the Lord has said, you don't touch, don't touch it. Isaiah 52, it says, be ye clean, ye that bear the vessels of the Lord. You know, that's every one of us today. Every one of us are His temple, the temple of God and of the Holy Ghost. Be ye clean. We are called in our time, still today, to be a distinct people. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If the devil can't win by causing us to just throw in the towel and give it all up and plunge headfirst into the world, he'll try to get us there by saying, at least just blend yourself into the world. Don't have such a harsh dividing line in your life, where you say this is right and this is wrong and I can't do that. Don't be quite so black and white there. Just have a little bit of leeway. Have a little bit of tolerance for other viewpoints and for other lifestyles and for other ways of living. The enemy wants to get us into a place that we have concord with Belial or Belial, that I have concord with something that is not of Christ, where I have allowed myself to enter into allegiance or enter into friendly terms with the enemy. With the very one that's out trying to destroy me and my family. He says, let there be a difference. God, who divided light from darkness, still wants there to be a very clear delineation, distinction between light and darkness today. Not a blurry, cloudy type of life that we live, but something that is clear. Walking in the light. Wherefore, come out from among them. Come out from among the world. Come out from among religious systems of confusion that are not called by my name. Come out because I want you to be separate. Separated unto myself. So is the church of God. And so is it to be in our time. It says here, touch not the unclean thing. We just read proclamation or pronouncements of what was clean and what was unclean. Well, he says the same thing here. Touch not the unclean thing. You know, we read that the law did something. It was for a purpose. It was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. We also read of the law, read in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, that those things were a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks, and divers washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. Those things that they were under, that the Lord made a very clear distinction. This is clean and this is unclean. It was to bring them to an understanding of a holy God, of right and wrong, of a very clear distinction between the two, until the time that the Lord could bring them, could bring mankind into the place that He really wanted them to be in the whole time. Because in that day He said, be ye holy. But holiness in that time, men, don't touch those unclean things. Don't go out and eat of those things that I have said are unclean. But what did Jesus say? When Jesus came and they found fault with Him for not washing His hands, He said, it's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but now it's the things that come out of the mouth that defile a man. That's where the defilement is. That's where the unclean or the clean is. The things that you've allowed. I want to go down now into the heart and the things that you allow there. So He said, the same commandment, the same requirement for us today, and yet in the day of grace, be clean, be pure. Don't allow things into your life that start to blur the lines for your own mind or for those that come behind you to say, what is this? Well, maybe I see a little bit of this, but it doesn't seem very consistent with what I see in the Word, and brings confusion, but make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Let's close in Titus, the 2nd chapter. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's what the Lord is still looking for today. A people that are called out, that are separated and redeemed from iniquity, not still walking in your old ways of sin, but a new creation, a new creature. There's been a difference put now between your old life and who you are now. There's been a difference made between what's sinful and what's not, what's clean and what's not, walking in newness of life. But the Lord doesn't just call us out and away from those things and leave us with an empty void. But instead, He said it's a people that are zealous of good works. There's a zeal, there's a love that He's put in the place of it that the world needs to be able to see in our time. So may the Lord help us today. Where are the Daniels, the Shadrachs, the Meshach, and Abednegos of our generation? Because our world today is as dark or darker, I'm sure, than it was in that time. The Lord is still calling for a people that'll be distinct, that are willing to stand up. And remember a quote came to mind. I don't mean to be political with this. It's not the cause that I'm fighting for, but Reagan back in the 70s, at a time when the Republican Party was in turmoil and had lost elections and they were in an identity crisis. Who are we as a political party and how do we regain our footing? He said, our people look for a cause to believe in. Is it a third party we need or is it a new and revitalized second party? Raising a banner of no pale pastels, but bold colors which make it unmistakably clear where we stand on all the issues troubling the people. You know, the Lord wants us to raise, not as a political party, but as His people, to raise a banner. Hold high the royal banner, not with pale pastels. What He was saying here unto His people or His party was, we don't have to try to blend ourselves to look like the other guys, but we need to be willing to stand up. We heard about backbone. We need to be willing to stand up, to have a backbone, to be willing to crawl, to draw very clear lines. This is who we are. I'm not apologetic for it. It's what I believe. I believe it's the solution. I believe it's the answer. The Lord is looking for us as His people to be willing to raise a banner today of bold colors. Ye are the light of the world. Don't hide your light. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't try to disguise it or hide it or blend it in where you won't stand out as much. But do you know the times that we stand out? Sometimes are the times that the Lord can use as an opportunity to reach somebody else. So I want us to be challenged and encouraged today that we be a people that are a peculiar people, a nation that's called out, a clear distinction in our lives. If we find ourselves in places that the devil has started blurring some lines, things that maybe over time I've started kind of justifying, I've started trying to put a little bit of a whitewash of innocence over something that really may not be so innocent. May the Lord help me that I would, the scripture says, Brother Larry quoted part of it this morning, be not conformed to this world. Don't be pressed into the mold. That's what all the pressure of the world is trying to do. And I know we may say here today, well, I'm older than peer pressure. I'm not subject to peer pressure like maybe I was when I was younger. But you know, there's a pressure on us. There's a pressure to conform. And we may be subject, or we may be more prone to that pressure sometimes than I realize. The pressure that society and that our culture around us constantly exerts on us, trying to mold us, that even if it takes some time, by that constant application of pressure that never lets up, that it slowly starts to budge. It slowly starts to fit into the mold that the world says is acceptable. It says, don't do it. Don't be conformed. Don't be pressed into that mold. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. May the Lord help us through the renewing of our minds, that I'd be transformed and willing to draw a clear distinction. You pray for me. Amen.